Very warm good morning to all of you. So good to see you. Praise God. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we bless you. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we ask for your holy presence here with us. Speak to us through your holy word. Give to us ears to hear all that you are saying and hearts to receive you afresh. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we begin a new sermon series in the cathedral. It's a three-part sermon series leading to Pentecost on the 5th of June. Today's topic, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? 50 years ago in Singapore, 1972, the Holy Spirit came to two schools, mainly two schools in Singapore, ACS, which is a Methodist school, and also St. Andrew's, which is an Anglican school. The Holy Spirit baptized the students. Suddenly they broke out in new languages, which they had never learned before. And this phenomenon was so strange, so remarkable, that all of Singapore heard about it. It appeared in the press. People were wondering, is this mass hysteria? What happened? No one really knew, because in those days, very few people knew the Holy Spirit. And so it is so good that today we can begin to understand who the Holy Spirit is. What he did in Singapore 50 years ago. What was the meaning? And will the Holy Spirit do so again in Singapore? Let's go through this looking at two words, both beginning with the letter G. So the first one, on who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. He is God. The very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This is English. You read it, you hear it, it doesn't really strike you. Actually, the Hebrew, which is the original language of the Bible, gives us a fuller picture, gives us greater understanding. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. Elohim. Next slide. Stuck. Thank you. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. How do I begin to explain Elohim to you? It's a very big, complex idea. Perhaps the easiest way I can explain is to just show you pictures. So let's see some pictures. I love this animal, these animals, dogs. If you have one dog, it is spelled D-O-G, just one dog. If you have plural, more than one, it becomes dogs. You simply add the letter S at the end and it becomes plural. Same with cats, one cat. But if you have many, just add an S at the end, it becomes cats. That's English. How about Hebrew? Well, in Hebrew, if you want to make something plural, you simply add something at the end also. And any guesses what this is? Yes, please. S. Oh, that's English. Thank you. Good try. No, in Hebrew, to make something plural, you simply add im. I-M. The letters I-M at the end of the word. Im. So now you see that Elohim, God, is plural. Is that shocking? It gets really shocking when you read Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, which says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Elohim is plural, God is plural, but God is one. That's shocking. How can God be plural and God be one? How can plural be singular? Of course, we understand as Christians that it is because we have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is indeed plural, but he is also singular. And the thing about God, the three members of the Godhead, is they were with us right from the beginning of the creation of the world. And so you see, in the Genesis account, Genesis 1 verse 1 refers to God the Father as being at creation. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And this is understood to refer to God the Father. God the Son, Jesus, he was also at the creation. John 1, 1 to 3. The Holy Spirit, he was also there. Genesis 1, 2. So all three members of the Godhead have been with us since the beginning of time. But the thing about the Godhead is, it is as though they have taken turns to step forward in different periods of history. You know, it is something like the SEA Games in Hanoi. Did you watch this on TV? I loved it, especially swimming, because Singapore won so many gold medals in swimming. So, this is the men's 4x100 relay medley. They won the gold medal. And you know, when they won, I was just so happy. I couldn't stop smiling for so long. So proud of the Singapore team. The thing is, they all did their best. They played their part. When it was their turn, when it was their lap, they jumped in the water and they swam the fastest that they could. They did their best. What does this have to do with God? Three members of the Godhead taking turns, as it were, to step forward in different periods of history to accomplish wonderful things. And so God the Father, it is understood that the whole of the Old Testament, the main figure is definitely God the Father. Jesus, well, God the Son, the Gospels, no doubt about it. Jesus is the main character in the Gospels. And the Holy Spirit, well, he comes to the forefront in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. That's when the believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. So what took place in Singapore 50 years ago in schools? It was something like that, but on a smaller scale. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, a new season in history began. What season is that? So we have to look at an Old Testament prophet named Joel. Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Joel said it will happen afterward, after something. I will pour out my spirit. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, Peter quoted this verse from Joel, but he changed it. And so Peter said, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Notice, Joel said afterward. Peter changed it to "in the last days," because under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter understood a new phase in history has begun. This new season is called the last days. It's called the end times. So what does this have to do with us personally? From Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, to now, to the time Jesus comes again, all this is the period of the last days. It is a season of the end times. And who is the front runner? Or in swimming language, whose lap is it to swim the fastest? It's the time of the Holy Spirit. This is the season of the Holy Spirit, the last days, the end times. And because it is a season of the Holy Spirit, we have to know Him. It is so important that we know Him. So He is God, and also He is the gift. I think there's a mix-up in slides, please. He is God, and also He is the gift. He is the gift promised by God the Father. Let's go back to the time when Jesus was still on earth. Thank you. So, Jesus had already risen from the dead, and very shortly, He would ascend into heaven. Before leaving, He spoke special words to His disciples. And He said this in Luke 24:49. He said, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." The promise of the Father. I see some children here. So children, please let me ask you. If your father promises to give you something, do you think it is something good or bad? Good. He says good. And he is correct. Your father will promise to give you something good, not something bad. So what is this something good that God the Father promised to give? We read in Acts 1, 4-5, Jesus ordered them, the disciples, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise of the Father, the gift is the Holy Spirit. God wants to give to us the Holy Spirit. Do you want him? Monday this week, cast your minds back a bit. Monday this week, it was a public holiday. I was at home. It was hot. It was so hot. Singapore has been hitting some record highs for heat. It was so hot. Suddenly, at 4 p.m., the weather began to change. The sky grew darker. It became cooler. And there was a very beautiful, strong wind blowing. I love wind. I love cool. I cannot take heat. So I quickly ran to the window. I stood at the window. Wind! Oh, it was coming on my face. I was feeling so alive and so joyful. Then I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he said, go outside. Go outside. So I left my home. I went outside. This time, what did I see? What did I feel? Not just the strong wind on my face, but by now, it had begun to rain. At first, just small drops, just small little drops of rain. But later, it became more and more frequent, stronger, faster, until my face, my hair, became quite wet. Now you say, how can your face and your hair become wet and not the rest of your body? It's because I was looking up. And as this was happening, I knew what the Holy Spirit was saying. And he was saying to me, there are many people, many Christians, who are satisfied, happy with just a few drops of rain. You know, in the Bible, rain is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians are satisfied with just a few drops of rain, but God wants to give to us so much more. Do you want a lot of the Holy Spirit in your life? Oh, Holy Spirit, give me a few drops and I'll be happy. Don't give me so much until people think I'm mad, people think I'm crazy. Like Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, the disciples were ecstatic. But there were some in the crowd who said they are drunk, thought they were mad. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, strange things, unusual things can happen. Like 50 years ago in Singapore, when the Holy Spirit came on the students, people thought they were mad. I know, because I was there. I was a non-Christian. And I looked at my Christian friends, and I said, ah, they've been studying too hard for the exams. Now they've lost their brains. They've gone crazy. People will think that you are mad. Are you ready for a lot of the Holy Spirit, or just something respectable, Lord? A few drops of rain, and I will be happy. God wants to give to us so much more. How do I know? Jesus said so. Look at his words in Luke 24, 49. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The word I underline is clothed. This is English, and once again, English doesn't give us the rich meaning of the Bible. So for that, we need to go back to the original language. In this case, the language of the New Testament is Greek. And so the Greek word for clothed is enduo. And it doesn't just mean clothed, but it actually means sinking into a garment. Sinking into a garment. Wow. What? Please don't answer, but let me ask anyway. What body size are you? Let us assume we are all S. That is my dream for myself. We are all S body size. But suddenly a friend gives to us clothes that are XXXL, extra, extra, extra large. What do you think would happen if we tried to wear XXXL when actually we're only S? Will it fit us? Certainly not. I think we'll be drowning in our clothes. We'll be sinking into our clothes. We'll be covered all over with our clothes. This is the meaning, in effect, what Jesus said, wait until you are clothed with power from on high, until the Holy Spirit comes on you, until there is so much of him. This is what God wants to give to us. You know why He wants to give us so much of the Holy Spirit. It's because there is so much work to do. There's a Channel News Asia report in last year. It says that 452 people in Singapore committed suicide in the year 2020, a record high, never so high since 2012. And you say, well, what was so special about 2020? Of course, that was the year that COVID hit us. When COVID hit us, our lives changed completely. So many things happened that a record number of people could not take the strain and the stress. They killed themselves. The reasons given by the experts: loneliness, isolation, psychological distress, all due to COVID-19. Today, praise God, the COVID situation is much improved in Singapore. But still, people are suffering emotional damage. It's not quite back to normal. Life is not quite the same as before, was it? Not quite. Almost there, not quite. There are still so many people who are lonely and hurting. And God needs us. God needs us to show the world His love. He needs us to show people that there is a reason to live. There is a reason to wake up every morning, because God has a beautiful plan and purpose for us all. When the Holy Spirit comes, we will receive power. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The power is spiritual power to touch lives, to change lives. The Holy Spirit is not just the gift of God, He is also a giver. He also gives gifts. At Pentecost, the very first gift that He gave was the gift of tongues. So imagine this. They were all Jewish men. Suddenly, they could speak the language, not just the Hebrew language of Israel, but they could speak the language of every nation under heaven. A miracle. They never studied. Suddenly, fluently, they could speak all the languages of the world. How I wish in my younger days the Holy Spirit had given to me the gift of tongues. Then I wouldn't have failed Chinese in school. I could have got an A for Chinese, but the Holy Spirit didn't give me the gift then, only very much later. When the Holy Spirit came and gave the gift of tongues at Pentecost, it was something that the crowd could hear. Also, they could see. They could actually see the gift of tongues. How could they see the gift of tongues? The Holy Spirit came on the believers' heads in tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. As they spoke in tongues, there were tongues of fire on their heads. I read this passage so many times. I never got it until recently when the Holy Spirit showed me the meaning. It's the shape. The shape. The shape. You say, what shape? So let me show you the photos. The shape of a candle flame, the shape of fire on the cooker, it's the same shape. It's the shape of a tongue. It's the shape of a tongue. So it was as though the Holy Spirit was saying to the people, you can hear the gift of tongues, you can see it, you can actually see it, and it was like the Holy Spirit is saying that from this time forward, from this day onwards, the fire of God, the passion of God will burn in you. It will burn in you. It will never go out. And it has been so true in my life, praise God. Since the Holy Spirit baptized me, since He gave to me the gift of tongues, there's been a fire burning in my heart. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says that there are two types of tongues, the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. If we speak in the tongues of angels, we don't understand, because we are not angels. Far from it. We don't understand. But God understands, because He knows the language of heaven. The tongues of men, that means you can suddenly speak in a new language which you have never learned, and you suddenly speak fluently. You don't understand it, but other people who know that language, they understand it. And so it happened years ago when I went to Israel on holiday. This is a picture of me with a tour guide in Israel. And so when I was in Israel that time, I noticed that I was suddenly speaking in a new tongue. I was able to pray in a language I've never prayed in before. It sounded familiar, but I just wasn't sure what it was. And so I asked my tour guide, I said, do you know this language? And then I prayed in tongues for her to hear. So she listened. And she said, it sounds like Arabic, she said. She's a Jewish lady, but she can speak Arabic. She said, it sounds like Arabic, but I don't know the exact words that you are saying. No problem. To me, I was just happy it sounds like Arabic. Tongues is truly a beautiful prayer language. It's a beautiful language of worship. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do you speak in tongues? Tongues, yes, is only one of the many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. But the fact that the Holy Spirit chose this to be the first gift given to people, that's significant. And I believe He wants us all to have it. So, if this is your desire to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues, then please come for this. The Holy Spirit Seminar, 2nd and 3rd June, here in Cathedral. Even if you've already been baptized in the Spirit, you already speak in tongues, I say to you, please still come. Closing date is Friday next week. You have a few more days to register. Please come, because there is so much more of the Holy Spirit that we still don't know. Ezekiel talks about walking deeper and deeper into the river. Here's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Are we happy with just a little bit of raindrops on our head? Or do we want to be drenched in the love, in the power of the Holy Spirit? Please come for this. I hope to see you there. For now, let's just wait upon the Lord. Open up your hearts. Prepare your hearts. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready for what you want to do in my life. A beautiful thing, a great and wonderful change. Let's come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you already speak in tongues, will you pray with me in tongues? Father, I bless you, Lord. I bless you that you love us so much. I thank you, Lord, that you give to us the power to touch the world with your love. You give to us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You give to us the spiritual gifts. Father, I pray for all of us here that our hearts will be open to receive everything you want to do in our life. Lord, that we will not resist you because of fear or any other reason. But Lord, that wholeheartedly we will say, Lord, burn your passion, burn your flame, burn your fire in my heart. Lord, that the world will know we love you. And that your power to change and to touch lives is here. So, Father, I just commit all of us to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you will do increasingly wonderful things in our life. Bless you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.